Thank you, Mr. Allen. Good afternoon, brethren. The title of the sermon today is The Red Heifer Sacrifice and Its Prophetic Significance. The Red Heifer Sacrifice in biblical times foreshadowed the death of Jesus Christ. The red heifer was the rarest of all sacrifices. It was sacrificed completely whole, and it was outside the camp. The ceremony has spiritual significance for us today. In the book of Leviticus, you guys don't have to turn there, but if you read through it, through the sacrificial laws and the purifications, during that time, the Levitical priesthood would perform animal sacrifices, and some of the sin sacrifices had to be done outside the camp, but it had to be in direct view of God in the temple. And I got a little chart here. You may not be able to see it too far. I can put it on the back when we're done. But there's a picture of a red heifer right there. And then here is a picture of the temple here. And out here is where the red heifer laid. And the reason it had to be outside the camp is it had to be in a clean place. So they built this three-tier bridge right here, because this was the Kidron Valley, and there was a lot of graves and dead bones there, and you couldn't walk over anything dead. It had to be pure. And then that red heifer, his head had to be turned directly into the temple facing God the Father. So, brethren, to set this up, you don't have to turn there. Hebrews 9, 13, 14, it says, "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of the heifer sprinkled on those who are defiled sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, to a far greater degree the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, shall purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Now we are going to turn to Numbers 19. This will be the only scripture that I'll have you guys turn to today. The rest of it will be just references that you could write. So in Numbers 19, we're going to start in verse 1. "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and they shall bring a red heifer without blemish, in which there is no defect, on which a yoke has never come. And you shall give it to Eleazar the priest, that he may take it outside the camp, and it shall be slaughtered before him. And Eleazar the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger and sprinkle some of its blood seven times directly in front of the tabernacle of the meeting. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast them into the midst." Now, brethren, we're going to break down these symbols. The red heifer, the reason it was red is red pictures sin, and it was going to be the ultimate blood sacrifice for all of mankind. It also had to be perfect. If it had more than one white hair, it was considered unclean, and also it could not have a yoke ever put on it. So Christ, as I said, was going to be the ultimate sacrifice to cover all of mankind's sin once and for all. And it had to be outside the camp. So as you saw in that picture, that heifer was facing directly to the temple, and the priest would take his right hand and cut the throat, and with his left hand, the blood would drip into his hand. Now what's interesting about this particular sacrifice is all the other sacrifices, the blood was in a vessel. But this one had to be in the left hand. And the reason it was that is because it was by the hand of man that put Christ to death, and it was by God's hand that was going to give us life. And then they would sprinkle it. He'd dip his finger in there and sprinkle it seven times towards the tabernacle. And what that picture, brethren, that pictured the seven-day creation week from Adam's sin all the way to the 7,000-year plan that blood of Christ was going to cover the sins of the world. And the heifer also had to be burnt whole in the presence. So then the priest would take that cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet wool and throw it into the burning heifer. Now, some of you might think, boy, this is really some kind of witch's brew here going on, because it was that scarlet rope that tied that cedar wood and the hyssop all together. But brethren, every detail has specific meaning. The cedar wood, when you look it up in Wikipedia, it's considered something that's highly valued. Who had more of a highly valued life than Jesus Christ for the sacrifice he was going to do for mankind? And also, it was aromatic fragrance. It put off a wonderful fragrance. If any of you have ever been around cedar wood, it has a wonderful smell, and Christ was the sweet aroma sacrifice for all of us. And also, cedar wood is decay resistant. Who has eternal existence, brethren? Our elder brother, Jesus Christ. And then the hyssop, it's a cleansing herb. You remember in Psalm 51:7, David said, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." The hyssop represented that Jesus Christ was purely clean from the beginning, and that our elder brother Jesus Christ would be washing us with hyssop by the Holy Spirit, by the living waters, by the living God. And then that scarlet wool dipped in red dye. So brethren, what's wool made out of? It comes from a lamb. If you remember in John 1:29, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So when Christ was being sacrificed, what did the Romans put on him? Remember when they beat him with the whip, the cat of nine tails, and they were ripping his skin? They put a scarlet robe, a red crimson robe, picturing the red crimson blood that would cover the sins of the world. They put that on his shoulders, and that was picturing that his blood was going to cover the sacrifice for all of mankind. Then after they crucified him with the whip, they led him to the Mount of Olives, out of the camp, just like the red heifer was led out of the camp on the Mount of Olives. Now, most of you might not realize, a lot of people think the Mount of Olives is just a big, tall mountain. It's not. It's a range of hills is what the Mount of Olives is, and Christ spent a lot of time there. And then he was hung on a cedar beam facing the temple, looking directly into the temple where God the Father was. And if you remember, brethren, in Matthew 27:46, it says, Christ cried with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Christ realized at that moment that his Father had turned his head away from him. And the reason he did, because all the sins were coming on his shoulder at that moment, he could not have any help. His Father had to turn away from him, and also he was crimson red. He had blood flowing from head to toe. If any of you ever watched the Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of the Christ, that was probably pretty close to what our elder brother Jesus Christ looked like. He was truly the blood sacrifice for everyone. And then in verse 49 it says, "Then another took a spear and thrust it in his side, and out came water and blood. The rest of his blood was poured right out on the ground there, and he cried with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." And then in verse 51 it says, "And the veil of the temple was ripped in two from top to bottom." So the question is, why did that happen, brethren? It's because sin came into the world through Adam, and our second Adam, Jesus Christ, was the tree of life. When that temple curtain ripped open, it allowed us to have access back to the Father. The tree of life had now been opened once again by his sacrifice. Now there's one more symbol that we're going to look at from the red heifer. And you don't have to turn there. Numbers 19:9, it was the ashes of the heifer. And what they would do, they would lay them upside the camp in a clean place, in a newly hewn out tomb is where they laid the ashes. So they had this little portable thing that would form out, and it looked like a little shelf, like a hewn out temple, and they would put those ashes in there, and they would put it outside the camp in a clean place. Where was Jesus Christ's body laid, brethren? It was outside the camp in a newly hewn out tomb in a clean place, on the Mount of Olives. In verse 17 it says, then on the third day, they took the ashes and water and mixed them together. Now you might think, well, that's kind of a strange thing, but what you're going to see here in a minute, brethren, it was the ashes represented Christ. They crushed those things down fine, just like bodies. Christ's body was crushed and mangled more than anyone else. And then the water is living waters. And in verse 19 it said, a clean person shall sprinkle on the unclean on the third day, and on the seventh day they would be clean. And they were declared clean. You might think, well, that sounds a little strange too. But you remember, brethren, the ashes were put in the tomb in a clean place, and Christ was put in a tomb in a clean place. And then after 3 days, those ashes, they mixed the living water with it. After 3 days, Christ rose from the grave, and from that point forward, he could start cleansing up mankind with the living water, which represents the Holy Spirit of God. So, when Christ went from wearing a scarlet crimson robe, which pictures sin and his blood sacrificed for us, which is a prophetic picture showing us how we will go from unclean to clean. The water in the ashes represents the Holy Spirit, the living waters, the Word of God. And in John 7, 38-39, it says, the one who believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And in verse 39, it said, he spoke concerning the Spirit. It is Christ that takes us from unclean to clean by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, by the living waters. So, just like Christ stood before the Father in white robes, we also, when we are changed to spirit and we partake of the marriage supper in the presence of God the Father, we have to wear white robes too, brethren. Because when Christ was raised, he was seen wearing white linen, and he went to Mary, wanted to touch me, said, no, you can't touch me. I got to go to my Father first. When he went in the presence of his Father, he had to have a white robe. You cannot be unclean in the presence of God the Father. So just like Christ, when we go to that marriage supper and partake of it, we have to have white robes too. God the Father will not accept anything but pure clean. Now in Revelation 19, 1 through 14, you can write that down. It says when we come back, we follow Christ on what? White horses and white robes, white linen. And where does Christ come back to? In Zechariah 14:4, it says, Christ's feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Why there, brethren? Because that's the location, the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, where he was arrested, he was crucified there, and that's where his feet will return. And in verse 8 it says, and in that day the living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them towards the western sea. It's right there, brethren, where everything happened, that the living waters, God's Holy Spirit and the Word of God, is going to go out and heal the land and heal all mankind right from there. So in conclusion, brethren, why a red heifer sacrifice? Because it foreshadows the death of our high priest, taking on the sins of the world and taking us from unclean to clean.